stone can be found at a place in the ground where the body of Jesus was laid. It was never inscribed with the words to describe the power that grave still displays. For this monument where Jesus was sent wasn't carved with the story of death. It simply reveals a grave no longer sealed, and the empty tomb says the rest.
No clever inscription could ever describe what happened that wonderful day. And no epitaph could ever contain the words such a message should say. No man-made description could ever describe what's spoken by empty walls. The stone rolled aside with nothing inside, but the empty tomb says it all.
No black granite wall could hold nearly all the names of our Savior and Lord. And no mountain face would have enough space for one line of His love to record.
No one could relate to the numberless days, for He has no beginning or end.
The story goes on, His body is gone, and the tomb is empty again. No clever inscription could ever describe what happened that wonderful day. And no epitaph could ever contain the words such a message should say. No man-made description could ever describe what's spoken by empty walls. The stone rolled aside with nothing inscribed, but the empty tomb says it all. No man-made description could ever describe what's spoken by empty walls. The stone rolled aside with nothing inscribed, but the empty tomb says it all. The stone rolled aside with nothing inscribed, but the empty tomb says it all.
Thank you, ladies. If you would, please take your song book, turn it to song number 149. Song number 149, if you don't mind standing again, if you would, please. The choir is actually going to go ahead and you can sit down in the auditorium. Thank you so much for sitting. Song number 151. My bad, I was on the wrong song. We just sang that one. It was a good one. We should sing it again, amen. Song number, I even have it turned to the one that I was supposed to be on, amen. Praise God. Song number 151, hallelujah, what a Savior this morning. Song number 151,
a man of sorrows, what a name, for the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim, hallelujah, what a Savior. Shame and scoffing room, in my place condemned He stood, sealed my pardon with His blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless Lamb of God was He. Full atonement, can it be? Hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was He to die, it is finished was His cry. Exalted high, when he comes, a glorious king, will his ransom host to bring. Then anew this song will sing, hallelujah, what a Savior.
Good singing. You may be seated this morning.
We shall see Jesus just as he is. Once on a hillside, people were gathered, hoping to see as thousands were fed. He touched the blind eyes, healed broken spirits, moved with compassion, he raised up the dead. Once on a hillside, people were gathered, watching as Jesus was crucified. No one showed mercy to the one who had healed them. Yet Jesus loved them as he suffered and died. Once on a hillside, people were gathered, for Jesus had risen, and he soon would ascend. Then as he blessed them, he rose to the heavens and gave them this promise, he'd come back again. We shall see Jesus just as they saw.
Take your Bibles, if you would, please, if you have them here, and we're going to be in the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, if you would turn there, and as you find that, as you're able, would you stand to your feet as I read from the Word of God this morning, out of respect for the Word of God, if you're able to stand. If not, you may remain seated, of course. Luke chapter number 24, the third of the Gospels in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, chapter 24, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1, if you follow along as I read the Word of God. Luke chapter 24. And verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all those things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told them these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass." Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. We celebrate a risen Savior. As these dear saints went to that tomb the first Easter morning and found that it was empty, that it was open, that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead, just as you said. We're thankful, Lord. I pray if there's anyone here today that does not know you as their personal Savior, they do not know the Savior that died and rose to pay for our sins, may they come to know you today. Bless this service, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As you're seated, if you don't mind, take a moment and turn your phone off or silent or whatnot so we don't get all the ringtones going off during the service. That would be a help and a blessing. We won't be long. I'm not trying to be short, but I know that the kids are getting ready for the Easter egg hunt, and they're in all the other classes tormenting the teachers, and so we'll meet them afterwards here in a few moments. But I want to deliver a message to you, the Lord that put on my heart. In verse number 5, the Bible says these women, they came to the tomb that first Easter morning. The Bible says very early, and another passage, it says it was dark when they came to this tomb. And the Bible says in verse number 5, as they were afraid, and they bowed down their faces to the earth, and they, the angel, said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? These women came that first Easter morning, a handful of the women. The disciples were not there, and they came that morning with some spices, and they came to this tomb. As you know, Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, and his body was begged for by Joseph of Arimathea, and he had hewn out a stone and tomb to be his tomb someday. And when Jesus Christ was crucified, this man Joseph came to him, a disciple of Jesus, and he begged the body of Jesus Christ. And as they gave him the body, him and Nicodemus, they came and they prepared his body, and they wrapped his body and anointed, and they put him in that tomb. And the Bible says the stone rolled in front of that tomb, and it sealed the tomb that day. Not only was the tomb sealed by a stone, but also there was Roman soldiers that they placed there and said, I want you to guard the tomb. Because even the lost, even the soldiers and the Romans knew that Jesus said he was going to rise again after 3 days. Now, they didn't believe that he would rise from the dead, but they thought disciples would steal him from that tomb. So he put some guards there and said, make it as sure as you can. Make it as sure as you can. Well, I can say this, that you can make it as sure as you can, but you're not keeping Jesus inside that tomb when he said he's rising again. As the women came that morning, early in the morning, and the Bible said an angel came from heaven. The guards that were there, they were so afraid, they became as dead men. They were terrified. They were shocked, look on their face, frozen. I'm not exactly sure exactly how all that happened. And the angels came and they said to these women, they said, he is not here. Amen? He's not here, but he is risen. And he says in verse number 6, remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee. Remember how he told you that he would rise again the third day. This morning I got up early, and as the sun was coming up, and I was thinking, that first Easter morning, The stone could not hold the Savior in. The soldiers could not keep the Savior there. Death could not keep the Savior in that tomb. He rose from the grave that first Easter morning, and he lives forevermore. They came to the tomb, and the angel said, "Why seek ye the living among the dead?" That's the message this morning. Why seek ye the living among the dead? They came to a tomb. That tomb is a picture of sorrow, really. It's a picture of loss. It's a picture of separation that someone has passed from this life and they've gone to the next. And no doubt you have a loved one that's buried somewhere. And that's a place, maybe you have a place of sorrow. It might be a place of sadness. It's a place maybe that it's a sentimental place where you'd maybe go to the grave of a loved one and you would think about their memory. This tomb sometimes can be a solitary place. Of course, I've got to fly Easter morning. I've got to tell them, though. My wife got our kids Easter baskets this morning. I wasn't planning this, but got them Easter baskets, and she got me an electric fly swatter. And I said, "I'm bringing it this morning." And I thought, "I'm not bringing it." And the fly showed up. The devil came in the form of a fly, I guess. I'm not sure. Not an Easter present, but I was excited. You'd have to be a man to understand that, all right? They came to this place, and it was this tomb was a solemn place. Generally, a place where it's quiet, and you'd maybe bring some flowers, and they came with some anointing that day. But there was something different about this tomb. It was unlike any other tomb that you would enter, and it was the tomb of the Savior, because not only would the Savior enter that grave, he promised in 3 days he would rise again. And the message we get from the tomb this morning is this, that hope is not lost. Hope is not lost. Maybe they came to the grave for those days in between the crucifixion and he had been buried and put in that grave. And the stone was there and the soldiers were there and they came maybe for days and they thought, and the disciples had scattered and they thought, all that he taught us, was it even real? You can imagine their questioning. And as they get to the tomb, they were afraid, they were perplexed, and they were wondering what was happening that day. They did not fully comprehend that Jesus prophesied that he would rise again. And as they came to that tomb and the stone was rolled away and they looked inside, they said, "He is who he said he was. It's the Savior, and he said he would rise again, and he rose from the dead, and hope is not lost." The darkness turned to light, sadness turned to joy, and that morning turned to gladness. They went and told everyone, "The Savior has risen." Amen? I'm thankful today to tell you this. The Savior has risen, and hope is not lost. In this life, there may be sadness, there may be sorrow, there may be difficulty. You may look at the world and think there does not look like a whole lot of hope. And as you look around the world, there does not seem to be a lot of hope around the corner. But when you look at the Savior, there's always hope. Amen? There's always hope because we serve a risen Savior, that he rose and he's still alive today. Amen? He's not in the grave. He's not sleeping. He's not gone. He is very much alive today as he ever has been. He's the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And there is hope at the empty tomb. Amen? There's hope at the tomb. It's empty. No one stole his body. No one needed to roll the stone aside to let him out. He came out all by himself. Others in Scripture have been raised from the dead by a prophet or by the words of Jesus Christ. But no one else rose from the grave by their own power other than the Savior. Hope is not lost. I can tell you that today. Maybe you don't know the Lord as your Savior. I can tell you this. Hope is not lost, young person. Hope is not lost, dear lady and dear man, today. We serve a risen Savior. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We have a lively, a living hope today as a Christian, a risen, a living Savior. Many today around the world worship false gods, a dead god, an image. They worship their own god that they made in their mind, and they offer sacrifices and prayers to a god that's not real, a god that's not alive, a God that can't help them and answer prayers and comfort them, that can't save them, and there's no hope there. It's sad that their hope is in some kind of an image or a God that someone has made up. There is only one true God. There is only one God. There's other lowercase g gods, but there is only one God, and that is the God of the heaven, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ. And we have a lively hope. Many today have a dead religion. They go to church and they offer some kind of sayings and some kind of prayers to somebody that would pray for them. We don't have a dead religion today. Guess what? We're not here for religious sake. Amen? We're not here for the sake of religion, to put on a certain kind of clothing and go through some kind of rituals. We have a Savior that's alive. Amen? He's not dead. Some have a dead faith today. They know the Lord is their Savior, but show up on occasion to church and put on the clothes and put on the part of a Christian, but really the faith is dead. The Bible says faith without works is dead, being alone. Hey, we have hope today as a Christian. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you can have that same hope in your heart, because the Savior that died for the sins of the whole world died for you. The God that loves this whole world loves you and created you and wants to be your Savior. See, there is hope. There is hope in the empty tomb. Hope is not lost today. Maybe today you think there's no hope in this life, and if you do, you're probably thinking there's no hope in eternity. But when you look at the Word of God, and when you look to God, there is hope. There is hope. What does the empty tomb teach us? Why seek ye the living among the dead? Hope is not lost. But number two, Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. Anyone can give their life. Many would die on a cross during the days of Jesus Christ. Many would go to a tomb, but many would stay there as well. There's a few in Scripture you would see that would raise from the dead, but again, they would face their death eventually. But I can tell you this, that Jesus Christ was crucified on that cross. Darkness came over the face of this earth. He was taken to a tomb. The disciples had departed, many of them, except for a few at the foot of the cross, a few that came to that empty tomb. As the angels told these women that came to the tomb that day, they said, look inside, he's not here. And said, go and tell the disciples. Why were the disciples not there? After all the teaching, after all the miracles, after all that Jesus had prophesied and fulfilled even while on this earth, where were his disciples? They had lost hope. They had left Jesus. They thought, well, he's dead. Forget this Christian life and forget following God because he's dead. But when they saw the empty tomb and they said, hurry and go and tell the disciples, and they went and told them that Jesus is alive. I'm thankful we still have the same message to tell this whole world today, that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. We don't serve a dead God. Amen? We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve someone that lived in history, that was a good person and founded some religion. We serve a God that's alive and he lives forevermore. Death and hell cannot contain him. The devil thought he had defeated him, but Jesus came out alive. And the empty tomb revealed that he is alive. Christian today, man and lady today, do you realize that he is alive? He is alive. And I talked to him today. Amen? We hold his holy word of God in our hands today. And God speaks to us through his word. He is alive. He is alive. He is real today. He is alive. Jesus Christ is the truth, the Bible says. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then he was a liar. If all that Jesus said and did, if all the good that he did, if he did not rise from the grave, then he was a liar. It almost feels sacrilegious to even say that. But the empty tomb proved that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father, the Bible says, but by me, Jesus said. He is the truth. If Jesus said it, it will happen. If Jesus said it, it's the truth, and you can count on it. Too many people come to church or to the Word of God, and they say, I know what the Bible says, but I have other ideas. Jesus is the truth. The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. He is right and I'm wrong. He is the truth. He is alive. He's the truth. Jesus is powerful. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He is all powerful. Jesus is real. Jesus is real as is you and I are here today. You say, but have you seen him? Could you prove that he is real? Yes, because he is real. I know that because he lives within my heart. We sang that song today. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He is real today. He is as real today, and he's more real than the Easter bunny that comes and lays plastic eggs with candy in it somehow. He's more real than Santa Claus and the myths that we try to imagine. He's real today. He's real. Do you realize that he is real, that he is alive, he is powerful? The book of Revelation says this, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. That Jesus is alive. Have you got it yet today? He's alive. We've sung about it, preached about it, talked about it. He is alive. Do you believe it, though? That's the question. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? We have some that are, I don't believe it till I see it. Well, that was one of Jesus' disciples, wasn't it? Doubting Thomas. Jesus appeared and Thomas wasn't there. And they said, Jesus was here. And he said, I won't believe it unless if I can see the nail prints and his hands and his pierced sides. And Jesus came and he appeared just for Thomas. And when he showed himself to Thomas, Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. My Lord and my God. He died for me. He gave his life for me. He did the same thing for you as well. We have too much Christianity today that's very dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? We have dead churches and dead Bible times and dead prayers and a dead Christianity. But he is alive. He doesn't want to live you for you to live in death and defeat. He wants you to live a victorious Christian life. Do you know him today? My Lord and my God. He died on the cross for me. He shed his perfect blood for me. He paid for the sins that I committed. He went into death, into hell, the grave. He went there for me and for you as well. He rose from the grave for you, but he rose from the grave for me. He is alive. It's real to me. He is my God. He is my Savior. Do you know him today? Jesus is God. Amen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Thirdly, today it proves that Jesus is God. The greatest proof, if any was needed, that Jesus is God was the empty tomb. It wasn't a magic act. It wasn't a disappearing act, a sleight of hand of any sort. It proved that Jesus really was in the grave and he really was dead for 3 days and three nights. And he really rose again and had victory over death and hell. And it proves that Jesus is God. Not just a good man, not a good person, not on equal level with other religious people that have lived over periods of time, but that Jesus is God. It set himself above any other person. Many people look back and say, well, Jesus, he's a good person. And Jesus was a good story. And you can teach some good truths, but he's good like any other person. No, he is God. He is God. Amen? He is God. And when he was nailed to that cross, even the Roman soldiers, and they looked and said, truly, this is the Son of God. Truly. You can't come to that cross, and you can't come to that empty tomb and not admit that he is God. Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is God, but is he your God? He is the Savior, but is he your Savior? You see this, that cross and that empty tomb is the full payment for your salvation and mine. Amen? That's all that was needed. There's death on the cross, the shed blood of that perfect sacrifice, and Jesus rising from the dead. That is the payment for our salvation. But do you know him today? You say, I know about God. I've heard about God. I've been to church before. But do you know him as your Savior? Do you know him today? Do you believe in Jesus as the payment for your salvation? He wasn't just a good man. He was God who died to pay for the sins of all mankind. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing for one single person in this room to die and go to hell. Some would say, why would God ever send someone there? No, God died for us. Amen? He died for us. He is not willing that any, not a single person would perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you have a choice. He died for all, but you must freely and willingly accept Christ as your Savior. Have you asked him to come into your heart, trusted in him as your only way of salvation? See, no one's going to get to heaven by their good works. No one's going to impress God and say, well, I went to church Easter Sunday 2025. Are you going to let me into heaven? And God's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. Do you know him today? Is he your Savior today? Have you trusted in him as your only way to heaven? The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. See, it must be more than a head knowledge that I know about God and I've grown up knowing about God all my life. With the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you trusted in him? The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Any person that humbly admits I'm a sinner, not deserving of salvation, I can't work for it on my own, but I trust in Jesus Christ as my only way to heaven, come into my heart and save me. As a 9-year-old boy, the best I knew how, I knew that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. I asked him to come to my heart to forgive me of my sin and take me to heaven when I die. And that day I bowed my head and closed my eyes, and God saved my soul at that very moment. The Bible says that God wants you to know that you have eternal life. Too many people today are hoping they have eternal life, working to get eternal life. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He paid it all. You just have to receive it. Head bowed and eyes closed, please, if you would. We'll have an invitation time for a moment here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Do you know him as your Savior? Has there been a time in your life where you bowed your head, realizing as a sinner, I don't deserve heaven? I'm not good enough to go to heaven on my own. I'm a sinner. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. The punishment I deserve for my sin is separation from God, death, to a place called hell. But the Bible says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I deserve the punishment of death, but God offers the free gift of eternal life. How foolish would it be to reject salvation? How sad would it be to have the opportunity to receive salvation and say no and to wake up in hell for all eternity? I'm not trying to scare you today. I'm not trying to ruin your Easter. I'm trying to help you. You have a God that loves you. You have a God that died for you, that wants you to be in heaven for all eternity. But you must accept him by faith and ask him to come into your heart to save you. If you've never asked him to save you today, wouldn't you like to do that right now? With head bowed and eyes closed, I'm not going to call you forward.